April 14th, 2007. You're listening to Nowhere on Mulberry, episode 76. Everybody, it's me, the J-Strom, here at the Pop Culture District of Mulberry, episode 76 of Nowhere Mulberry. Thank you for joining us. We took a week off due to Easter because, you know, I had a lot of eggs to look for, Steven. Mm-hmm. You know, they had prizes. My favorite are the ones with like $10 in them. And the little kids get pissed off when there's an adult out there looking for them, too. But it's like, there's money in here!
Yeah, growing up, man, they used to have, like, the silver dollars.
Yeah. Or yes. I've never
the
been
Susan B. Anthony's.
Have you guys been into the Cadbury eggs?
I'm a little older, so but there was a Susan B. when I was a child looking.
But just before we start, guys, this is Steven, the pop culture zealot. How are you doing, Steven?
I'm doing fine, thank
Happy
you.
Happy Easter and all those things, pleasantries. And we also have here the Mulberry historian, Mulberry Bill. How you doing, Bill?
I'm good.
Happy, Easter's passed. Happy New yes. Week. And stuff like that. Vanessa may join us later. I don't know where she's at, but maybe she'll
show up.
Making
a pizza again.
Yeah, she's busy making one of those, you know, those new flatbread Stouffer's, brick oven.
Prefab.
Margarita pizzas or whatever.
A prefab pizza.
Delicious.
California pizza oven.
Of all the Easter candies there are, they have the marshmallow kind.
You know, the Peeps.
The Peeps. Not into those, even though I do like marshmallows. I'm not into the Cadbury eggs either because the idea of that crap in there is kind of gross to me.
You know what? I've never liked Cadbury eggs. Even as a kid, I would get those and be like, what the hell is this shit?
I just like chocolate.
I guess they make those little flat Cadbury ones now that have the caramel in them.
Yeah, I can do caramel.
I can do that.
Yeah.
Is it like caramello?
Maybe that's a caramello. Yeah. Maybe that's what I'm thinking of.
Very caramello.
I was thinking it was made by Cadbury.
My favorite has always been the
be
standby. Is
as
the,
I often
the
am.
The Easter Bunny. The chocolate Easter Bunny.
Well, see, those can be good, and those can be really bad. Like, really waxy, or some of them can be, like, bitter. Like, is it Cadbury that is notoriously bad? Like, real waxy and bitter.
What is it, the ones where you bite into it and it's freaking hollow?
What the hell is that?
Where's the rest of the chocolate? It's hollow.
My grandmother worked at Pangbrook's Candy Factory growing up, you know, when I was a kid. So, I mean, we got solid, you know, 15-pound chocolate
solid
bunnies,
chocolate,
you know?
Damn it. What's the first thing you bite off? The ears. Or the feet? Bite the ears off.
Always the ears.
Yeah.
Because that's, you know, it's just sticking out, taunting you. Like,
it's like a tongue sticking out at you.
And it's almost like, okay, I'm going to eat the ears right now and save the rest till after dinner or something.
I myself like the chocolate Jesus.
But I don't know about you guys.
I'd eat all the way down to the head.
Yeah, I love the chocolate Jesus, too. I always go for the crown of thorns first. Delicious.
If you bite the head off a chocolate Jesus, does it come back on Easter Sunday?
What I love is, I would always save the bunny face, though. Is that morbid? Just eat around till there's nothing but the bunny face left?
And then you can, like, eat the face, like, relishing, and you're disembodied out of
The oxygen's leaving your brain now.
Because ours was so thick and all chocolate, you ate all the extremities, and you had the torso left.
Yeah, as a kid, there was a chocolate company, like, right in our area called Ceres. And they made some incredible stuff, and they would ship those. The thing I always loved for Easter was their chocolate-covered pretzels, because they were enormous. They'd always use those huge sourdough pretzels and just soak them in chocolate, and then the solid Easter bunnies. Those were so good.
I was always a fan of the milk eggs, the milk chocolate eggs that are wrapped in that foil, kind of like Hershey's Kiss. But I wonder how
but
much
then there was
foil.
The cheapy ones, like you said, too, that are all waxy.
Remember
the
ones that
stick to the chocolate?
Those are the Brock's chocolate, the coins that you could get, and then the...
Well, I'm wondering how much foil have kids consumed? Like, there's that little bit left. I'm going to go ahead and eat it.
I know the rich people, like, they do the gold foil on it. It's not foil, but it's actually gold, and you can just eat the whole thing because the gold's edible.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, this gold is so good, it tastes like nothing.
You know, that's one thing
gold.
That sucks about Texas in the summertime. Any kind of chocolate, candy bar, whatever, it melts. I mean, like, you get it at even, a 7-Eleven, get a Snickers. The ride home, by the time you get home, it's all mushy.
Do you need to take, like, an Igloo cooler to get chocolate bars?
Yeah, exactly. It's crazy.
Yeah, you get it home, and you got to stick it in the freezer. Then you've got this mess of a candy bar when you pull it out, but it's all hard.
But my favorite has always been, I love the frozen Snickers and the frozen Three Musketeers.
See, I've never liked those. They're too sugary for me.
But I love the Three Musketeers. I'll do when I eat all the chocolate off, and it's just that weird middle part. And then you eat
the nougat.
Yeah, it's kind of strange.
I would have liked to have tried the Three Musketeers back whenever they first came out, because it was vanilla, strawberry, and chocolate. That's why they called it Three Musketeers.
Yeah, I saw that on that great show, Unwrapped.
Yes.
On the Food Channel. I love that
with
show.
Mark Summers.
When they do
was
the
that,
nostalgic
so you know what you
foods
were getting?
And stuff. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. I think it was like the most popular part is that what they kept.
The chocolate.
Yeah.
Yes. They discontinued the strawberry and the vanilla.
Yeah, that sounds kind of raunchy, man. I like Neapolitan ice cream. And you know what's weird is like my whole family, I'm like, hey, got some Neapolitan. And everyone's like, like what? What is wrong? It's chocolate? It's, what is it,
strawberry
and vanilla. What
the
hell?
It's
the
best of all.
But they act like I'm a leper or something. What are you doing with that weird ice cream? It's like, what the hell?
I can't.
What was crazy is different companies would, like, arrange it differently. Like, they would, I hated whenever they had the strawberry against the chocolate. That would piss me off because I like the vanilla against the chocolate.
Yeah, I've always had it. It's chocolate, strawberry, vanilla, isn't it? Strawberry is always in the middle.
Usually.
It depends on the company.
Yeah,
that's
it.
So
can
funny.
Reverse. Like I've had it chocolate, strawberry, vanilla, and then chocolate, vanilla, strawberry. You know, it all depends
on the company.
And actually,
we just got some a couple of weeks ago at the house, and now that's what it was chocolate, vanilla, strawberry.
But I'll like
you
say,
can add your
hey
flavor.
Guys, I got this new thing. It's basically it's strawberry swirl with little chocolate chips in it. Ew, why? It's like what? Huh?
Hey, look, I got some
cherry
Ben and Jerry's, you know?
The vanilla ice cream with the cherries and the chocolate bits in it. I like that.
I love
that. Sounds good.
The slow churn dryer stuff, that's really good, the slow churn.
But, I mean, do they freak out if you come home with, like Ben and Jerry's? It's all got everything mixed in?
They just like plain vanilla. I don't know what the deal is.
See, I've started to make my own. I bought, like, this $80 Cuisinart ice cream maker that you have to freeze the bowl, and then you can make your own out of heavy cream and whole milk and egg.
I still have a weakness for Häagen-Dazs chocolate chip, which will
chocolate,
fill you up like a meal.
Chocolate chip.
Yeah, it's chocolate ice cream with chocolate chips in it, and it's awesome. But also Blue Bell mint chocolate chip.
I just made my own mint chocolate chip. It was the best I ever had.
Oh, you like mint? Because I'm also a pariah for that, too. Hey, mint chocolate chip, everybody.
Yeah,
oh,
what
my
I,
God. What's wrong
I did
with you?
I did a vanilla base, and then I put peppermint extract in it. And then I put Andy's candies broken up in it. And
see, now
that
was
my
weird. That's a little strange.
Kiss my ass. It was good.
You put chocolate chips
I'm
in
there.
I'm
not mint. A big fan of the mint.
I make the mint chocolate chip around St. Patrick's Day because I miss my Shamrock Shakes.
They don't have them at Jack in the Box?
No, at McDonald's. We don't have Jack in the Box here.
Oh,
so
okay.
We only have McDonald's Shamrock Shakes, and they haven't had them
McDonald's
in ages.
Have
I
crappy
think
shakes.
It all depends. Yeah, they have those icy shakes. I can't stand
what
them.
I like about Jack in the Box is real ice cream. They use real ice cream, but they have those Andy's mint ice cream.
Hey, I love Andy's mints.
Yeah, Andy makes great mints. Mm-hmm. Now, let's go ahead and move past all this food stuff. And
I know everybody's
I'm hungry,
freaking
and
out.
I want some ice cream, and I want some chocolate. I want some ice cream. But here it is, guys. Don Imus. First of all, I got to tell you this. I never knew who Don Imus was until I've heard
of Howard,
Howard Stern. And I didn't even hear Howard Stern mention Don Imus. It was from his book, Private Parts, where he talks about that period of time. And then
the
I
incredible
remember,
racist Don Imus.
Well, I remember from the movie, there's a part where he's like, I got Howard Stern outside the door. And he goes, you got Howard Stern outside my effing door? And he just sticks his head out and goes, F off. And he's like, okay. And That's all I've ever known of Don Imus. I've never heard his show or anything, but I've always heard it's
horrible.
It's for old people.
I've tuned it in on the show on just to check it out to see what it's like, and it's unwatchable. It's unwatchable. I guess it's unlistenable too.
Yeah, he had Imus in the morning on what is it, MSNBC or something.
Yeah,
like
you
that.
Wouldn't want to watch it because he looks like he's dead. He's got like the oxygen
he's
and the
really
nasal cannulas in
person.
And the cowboy hat.
He looks like a chainsaw sculpture.
Yeah, but yeah, after you hear, when you hear Howard, you want to see what it is, what it's about.
Yeah,
you know?
And he's right. It is dull and boring, just lame. I know, like on his show, he also has like politicians and stuff go on his show, so he could either go either way and do like a serious show with political people, but he tries to be funny and stuff. Like I think if Howard said the same thing about this basketball team, no one would care because of
no.
the way he does that show. But this guy has like John McCain on his show and. He has like
he goes.
John Kerry was on.
Like, how
the day
could you go
after?
One? Yeah, yeah. That's what I'm saying. How could you? You can't have both ways, can you?
No.
Let me go ahead and play this thing here.
Awesome, some rough girls from Rutgers, man. They got tattoos and some hardcore.
Yeah.
Hoes. That's a nappy headed hose there. I'm gonna tell you that now.
Oh man,
that's some. Ooh. And the girls from Tennessee, they all look cute, you know. So. Like, kind of like a, I don't know.
Spike Lee thing.
Yeah.
The Jingabos versus the Wannabes, that movie that he had.
Yeah, it was a tough
Wow, one. That was even more racist than what happened.
Holy crap.
And it was a straightforward apology that Charles and I wrote. And I didn't offer
Is Charles
any,
like his PC Steven?
Yeah.
I didn't think there was any
co-host
need for me to put into any sort of context what happens on this program, because I unwisely just assumed it.
Holy shit, I'm falling asleep.
That I apologize to these young women. And
now, here's the thing. Okay, did he deserve to get fired because of that? I'm not necessarily sure. I don't think it's...
No.
I mean,
the reason he got fired is because he apologized. When the shitstorm started, he should have just said, listen, it was a joke, lighten up, I didn't mean anything nasty for it, move on.
Yeah,
you know, and it would have went away.
And he sat down with Al Sharpton.
That was his first mistake.
He took calls for people.
He should have never, ever went on the Al Sharpton show. Never.
He was trying to fix it, but he made it worse.
Right.
And then CBS is like, let's go ahead and fire him. Maybe you even heard that they had a big meeting and Al Roker was even in there. And
Al
Roker said he could have been talking about my daughter.
Oh, please.
And so they fired him.
You know what? I'm going to say
it
right now. Those Rutger girls, they were nappy-headed hoes.
Whoa, Bill.
Controversy. Did you see how scary? I mean, when was the last time you actually heard the term
nappy-headed hoes? No, the way he said that, I mean...
proves how old he is.
I mean, okay, let me ask you this. Does anyone who plays basketball for college even know who the hell Don Imus is?
No.
No.
They shouldn't.
You know what? It's one of these little religious riot groups that listen to everything. They got people sitting down just listening, waiting for somebody to say something.
I don't even think it's religious riot.
No, I'm just saying, but it's like that. One of these types of groups.
Right.
Just sit there and listen for some sort of controversial statement to be made by somebody.
And then they mass email the advertisers.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And well, that's the thing. I also heard that he lost, like, I don't know, 10% of his advertisers or whatever.
Which really isn't a whole lot. 10%. The guy got like a 0.3 rating in all his markets.
Oh, wait. Here's this thing. Oprah speaks with the women of Rutgers University basketball team.
Good Lord.
So tell me, what do you think of the MSNBC now canceling the Imus show?
We didn't have a purpose or an agenda, so to speak, as to whether or not he's hired, fired, or whatever.
Yes, it was just convenient that it happened.
We had a face-to-face meeting with him.
His remarks made to us, or made about us, was definitely stole our moment of joy. We came back from Cleveland hoping to, you know, be embraced with warm hearts and just that appreciation peak. It seemed like the world came down on us.
What I think she's talking about is that the friggin' nation was talking about it.
It's like, did they come down on her? No, everybody was kind of supportive of, like, hey.
This is what she's talking about. They got home and no one talked about the basketball game. They're like, what do you think about Don Imus and his racist statements he said about your team? And it's like,
Who the hell is Rutgers?
Yeah, well, I mean, she wanted to talk about their basketball game, but all the reporters are asking her about this. That's what is bothering them. Do you think Don Imus will ever get work again?
Yes.
Do you think he'll retire? Or he'll...
You know, this is going to sound crazy. I wouldn't doubt that we would see Imus show up on Sirius Radio here in a few months. It all depends on how long his contract was,
right,
and what the firing was. Like if there's no compete clause, so
if he's fired, there's no such thing as a no compete.
Well, there can still be a no compete clause if you're fired, especially under an offense like that. Like they can fire you for ratings or something, but whenever they fire you for like an actual on-air offense, they can keep you under contract.
He's a nappy-headed hoe. Did you see
his
hair?
Yes, he is.
His hair is ridiculous. For him to say anything about anyone's hair, that's the true crime.
He's got a big square-looking head.
Yeah.
Looks like Frankenstein with long gray hair.
Nappy-headed hoes.
Nappy-headed hoes.
Let's go ahead and get into some entertainment. During the Easter weekend, all sorts of great movies came, and one of them was Are We Done Yet with Ice Cube?
Yes, which is excellent film.
We also had Firehouse Dog, which I have not
seen. That was terrific. That really was good.
And,
I love a good CGI dog movie.
I do believe those two films beat out, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't know if Firehouse Dog did, but they beat out Grindhouse.
I'm sure both of them did.
Which was the Robert Rodriguez, Quentin Tarantino. And okay, don't get me wrong. I've loved films that have done horrible at the box office. That means nothing to me, right?
Right. Yeah.
I don't care how they do at the box office, really. But the thing is, you know, everyone's called this movie a huge bomb. I think a lot of it has to do with releasing it on a family weekend, where you go with your entire family, like, hey, Grandma, let's go see this movie called Grindhouse.
You don't go see Grindhouse with your grandma.
Yeah.
I think that Halloween might have been a better release time.
I just think...
Oh, absolutely. I think it would have hauled in the money if it came out, like, during Halloween.
Right. Well, I guess they wanted to release the movie before the big summer movies, like Spider-Man and stuff, but why not this weekend?
It should have been a fall release, quite frankly.
You know what I mean? Yeah, I agree with you. I just think Easter was a horrible time to release it.
This is not an Easter movie.
They should have released it the same weekend as... I bet you if they would have released it against 300, would if 300 is done as well? I don't know. You'd almost think... I was almost thinking this. Hey, 300 did so well. Grindhouse is probably going to do well because it's the same audience.
Right.
That's what I was thinking, but apparently not. Well, I know that I really wanted to see it, and I still have not seen it yet, but last weekend it would have been impossible for me to see it. I just couldn't do it. Say we had Easter and all that. You know, I have a daughter, Easter, you got to do the Easter stuff. So there's no way I could have. It was a horrible time to release it. Now, Bill, you have seen Grindhouse, am I right?
Yeah, I did.
I wanted to see the movie tonight. I was like, hey, I'm going to go see Grindhouse tonight. And the local theater has cut it down to one showing a day. 7:30.
That's ridiculous.
That's it. One showing at their theater. So how could the movie do better this weekend if theaters have like, let's go ahead and put in a little theater and show it one time a day? The movie's screwed, isn't it?
Yeah.
I've even heard Weinstein say that, you know, maybe we should have released it as two separate movies.
Worst possible thing they could do.
Release it as
Do not release it as two movies.
Well, he talked about doing that. I don't think that's going to happen for one reason, is that once the movie's out, no one's going to go see it now because they're like, my friends saw both movies for the price of one. You know, they're not going to pay twice as much for
the Grindhouse.
Right, and that... Basically, it's too late. They can't re-release it differently. It's just not going to happen. It's just too late.
You know, and I even got to admit, I don't think their marketing campaign was geared correctly.
It wasn't strong. I didn't think.
On Sci-Fi Channel, I kept seeing Robert Rodriguez and Quentin Tarantino in between commercials talk about it. And they were trying to get the fanboy, but they already know about it.
The ads should have been like more of a... I don't know, give you more of a feel of what it was like. Instead, they just kept showing Rose McGowan with the gun leg, and, you know, it just...
Okay, here's what I think the problem is it's the kind of movie that appeals to a certain audience, what they call the 18 to 49 crowd, I don't know. don't show the commercials on Sci-Fi because those people already know. I already hate the fact that on the trailer it says, Grindhouse, a film that shows in a blah, blah, blah. It's just like, shut up. Already right there.
Explanation.
Okay, here, Robert Rodriguez, he's talked about before how I can make movies real cheap, the studio leaves me alone or whatever. Do you think they just spent way too much money on this film or they couldn't recoup on niche film
like
this?
They spent so much money trying to make it look like it was a Grindhouse quality film that they should have just made a Grindhouse quality film. Like Planet Terror, it's a lot of fun, but it's just so overdone.
Did Robert Rodriguez go overboard?
Absolutely.
Meaning, did he kind of lose focus on the whole idea of the Grindhouse?
He lost complete focus on the Grindhouse. It's perfect. Because he really didn't know what Planet Terror was supposed to be. He put, like, Planet Terror is like five different stories in one movie. Some terrific scenes in it. There's some really great performances.
He does great set pieces.
Shark
stuff like
Boy,
that.
Yeah, Lava Girl.
It's a shitload of fun. It's about 20 minutes too long. It's fun. I honestly think the best part were the coming soon and the previews.
Right. Like, do you want to see Machete when it comes out?
Oh, yeah. It's hilarious. You watch it and you go, you know what? I could see something like this on Cinemax at 2 a.m. Easy.
What sucks is I haven't seen the f***ing film yet. I want to see it.
The best, though, I think the best are the middle previews, which are Werewolf Women of the SS by Rob Zombie. That one's a little crazy, but the best is whenever it reveals Nicolas Cage as Fu Manchu. And that's really funny. But Edgar Wright's Don't is just absolutely hilarious. It's one of those... It kind of makes fun of the 60s British horror genre. Like, if you're thinking about seeing this movie, don't. If you're going to open that door, don't.
You know what? You brought up Rob Zombie, and that's another thing I'm pissed off about because I just saw the Halloween trailer of he's done the new. And I got to tell you, as a kid, I loved Halloween in Halloween 2. I just love those films. I don't know what it was. I don't know if I was deranged, but I just thought...
they were
like,
right for the time.
I saw the Friday the 13th movies. They did nothing for me. They're just slasher films. But I could tell there's different stylishly in the music and everything.
Sure.
And to see Rob Zombie... And don't get me wrong. I hear he's a good director. I heard that it's... Okay, I don't give a shit, all right?
Yeah.
And I almost think... Because I've heard Zack Snyder talk about... People giving him shit about Dawn of the Dead. Like, how could you do that, man? How could you remake Dawn of the Dead? And he said, well, okay, let me ask you this. If a studio said, we're going to make Dawn of the Dead with or without you, we're asking you, do you want to make it? Would you say no? And he was like, hell no. I love zombies. I'm going to make this film. And I was like, yeah, okay, that makes a lot of sense. So when you think of Rob Zombie, a studio's like, we're going to remake Halloween. How'd you like to do it Dracula style? And he's like, oh, hell yeah, yeah. You know, it's like, no. I just don't leave this film the hell alone. Because they're going to remake Evil Dead too, Steven. Christ.
How are they even able to do that?
I don't know. Now, okay, that's enough about that. Let's go ahead and get into what's on our TiVo, because we have a few things to talk about. Am I right, Bill? Let's get into TiVo! Whatever! What the hell is it called? Now, guys, I don't even want to talk about Apprentice or any of those shows. I want to get right to Friday Night Lights because we had two episodes that we haven't even talked about, but the finale happened this week. And I'm going to say right now about Friday Night Lights, everyone's heard me, we've talked about Friday Night Lights, but Bill... am I exaggerating when I say that the most perfect season of television of a show you've ever seen?
I don't think so. I would have to say that.
From episode 1 to episode 22, the most well-written show I've ever seen.
Most well-written, most well-directed, edited, produced.
I mean, it's just...
I haven't seen a better television show in a long time.
When the finale comes, it ended too soon, but it just felt like a book. We got a novel's worth of characterization from this whole season of
the
show.
One thing that I've noticed from beginning to end of the season was, you know, the camera work was real loose in the beginning. They've mm-hmm. tightened it up a little bit, but it still has that, you know, that...
They
do
the documentary feel.
Yeah. It was a little too much in the beginning because they would do some really weird zooms.
Well, what I think it was, I've heard that they filmed the show from far away. They improv a lot of things, too. What they do is they work out the shot and the blocking, but they film the show from far away so it gets a more kind of intimate feel between the actors so the camera's not right there in their face.
That's why it's a little shaky because the zoom on it.
Right. And another thing is, I remember Battlestar Galactica, the first season or the miniseries, it called attention to itself. The camera was really shaky, and they finally got a handle on that.
That's
they
the same
reined
way
it in, yeah. And that's what I think they'll do. They've reined it in, but I just think the show is outstanding. And I won't even talk about the football part. I'm gonna, you know, the big state game, that was cool, but that's not even what I care about on the show. I love the stuff, the previous episode where Landry's still upset because Tyra hasn't gone to the police or anything, and mm-hmm. he tells Mrs. Taylor about her attack, and then she has to go and have pictures taken, and then she tells him, you know, get away from me, you smelly geek, I don't like you, don't ever talk to me again. I mean, he's really harsh. I felt bad for the guy.
Yeah.
Because he was just... And then there was later on at the big roast, which was hilarious... By the way,
that was tough.
Where she's trying to apologize to him, and I love it. She goes, "I want to apologize to you about earlier." He goes, "Earlier? I don't know what you're talking about." She goes, "Oh, you're not going to make this easy for me." But she's trying to apologize to him, and he goes, "Oh, I can see you're back with Riggins. Oh, is that what you're going to do? You're just going to go back to your lifestyle? You're going to be with a dumb guy? He's just going to treat you like crap?" And he's just going off, and it's like, dude, shut up. And then he starts making a lot of sense. You could tell he finally got her. Like, is that what you're going to do? He's going to work at a gas station. You're just going to go and just... That was just the way they do scenes like that. But and I love how there's humor through the whole show, too. Like... Smash has his joke about Matt Saracen being so shy that he emails the plays. It's such a stupid joke. And then later on, Buddy Gary sells his joke. And I love how the camera goes right to Smash, and he just like has a serious look, like he's so pissed off.
Well, yeah, after they had already told Smash, you know, don't tell the joke, it's really lame.
And another guy is like, you guys suck. He goes, say that again in my face. He's about to kick that guy's ass. But I love that Buddy Garrity steals his joke. And the first thing he tells Waverly that somebody stole my email joke. She goes, well, I didn't. It's like, I'm looking into who stole. And I love, Riggins. That was great.
He goes, how about him, Matt, dating the coach's daughter?
It's like, how about Saracen sleeping with the coach's daughter? And he's like, looks for a reaction. It's just silence.
All you hear is the
fork,
the silverware dropping on the plates.
Yeah, and like, Julie says, nothing like football players doing comedy. But you have the great scene with Tammy talking about her husband and what a great guy he is. And what I love from what we were talking about, the pilot episode up until the finale, is just how much the characters have grown and changed.
Mm-hmm.
Smash, he used to be this braggart. He still is, but he showed us who he really is. He showed us, you know, a real person. Same with Tyra. She's the slutty girl in the pilot. Is this what she is? She changes completely. Lila has changed a lot, too.
Yeah, for anyone to say that, you know, nothing really happened in the finale, it was more to show you... The finale was basically the finale for these characters. The entire season led up to this changing point.
Right.
This you know, that was the big reveal, is these people finally changing their attitudes.
They were
working
toward state.
Yeah.
The entire season. And so the season finale is state, what they've been working for the whole time. And I like the scenes with Voodoo, too, when he comes up and he's like, let me talk to you, Smash. You and me, man. We blow everybody away. He's telling him to come to his school. And that's the thing. I know I'm skipping a lot of stuff, but in the finale, when the team finds out that Coach Taylor has taken a job, it just deflates everyone on the team.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel the same way. I don't want the guy to leave. How could he leave? This is the coach. You know, he spent some
And especially the way it came out.
Yeah, the reporter, like, you've taken a job at TMU. And I love she puts him right on the spot. It sucked the way she did that.
Look, we're here about today's game.
He's just, like, you didn't answer my question. And I love all the players at that dinner.
She wouldn't alone.
At that uncomfortable dinner where Buddy's like, we're going to state. We're going to state. And everyone's cheering except the football team. They're all just sitting there pissed off. It was just really uncomfortable. My favorite part of the finale is Landry. Tyra asks him to drive with him to Dallas, and he's like, all right.
3 hours
and
in a car.
We get
Tyra.
Old Landry back because he's putting together his concoction of aphrodisiac chocolate.
Yes.
He's like, oh, this is. I love when he's like, taste this. How's that? He goes, oh, that's pretty good. I'm whipping up a nice little aphrodisiac, and Matt kind of goes, like, looks at him like, what? And like, why the hell did you just feed me this? Or it was sanity.
I liked Tyra's mom in the car eating the chocolate.
Yeah. Oh, that made me almost vomit in my mouth.
That's what was great. He goes to pick her up, and it's her.
I'm getting all tingly.
Yeah, that's yeah. The thing. He picks her up thinking it's just her, and then it's her mom and her sister. And she's like, I'm going to have to sit in front because I get car sick. And she's like, oh, I'm on my period right now. And he's just like, oh, Jesus. She's eating the chocolate. I'm getting tingly. And it's just like, he's just like, oh. And then he picks up Matt's grandmother. I love the scene where they see Lila on the side of the road. And he's like, it's a Christian thing. We got to pick her up. And Tyra's like, no, drive away. He's like, I can't do it. You're going to have to get out and talk to her. And I love how she goes, hey, cheating bitch cheerleader, you need a ride? Just she walks away. They have this fight or whatever. It was great. But how about the scene where they're driving down the road singing Lady Marmalade?
Oh.
And they're all just singing it at the top of their lungs. And
poor Landry.
You just see Landry's
there,
face.
Face forward.
Landry's in, like, hell.
It's a bunch of crazy women. And somebody's talking about peeing and... Oh, she's like, oh, I forgot my tampons. Does anyone have one? And then the grandmother's like, I haven't had a hot flash in 20 years or something. It's just like, you can just see him like, ugh. And the football scenes, those were good. No complaints there.
No.
Enjoyed the show. I like the scene where Coach Taylor thinks that Buddy's going to yell at him, but he's like, I just want to say it's been nice knowing you and you're a great coach. And there's the whole dynamic, you know, we haven't even talked about Tammy, she finds out she's pregnant, and they had a great scene with Smash's mom at the clinic, where yeah. She's like, you're extremely pregnant. I forget what she says, but
yeah.
It's really funny.
How pregnant do you want to be?
Yeah.
Yeah, because you're extremely pregnant. It was just a really, I love this show so much. I don't even know if talking about it does it.
I wish they would give Smash's mom more time because she's just such a character.
And when they show her, I almost like, I light up because... That scene where she's there and then Smash's mom goes, can I help you with something? She's like, hey, she's here in this scene. Great, because they've shown her to be such a great character. I remember parts in the series. There's a great scene in the show where she catches Tyra screwing around with Smash in the bedroom. And she has a talk with Tyra. Tyra's trying to be all bitchy to her, but she goes, no, come here, girl. And she talks to her. She talks to her like a human being. Like, I don't know what you're trying to do or whatever. But it's such a great scene because it's not like, oh, come here, girl. I beat your ass or whatever. Instead, it's like they have a dialogue. And she goes, you know, I'm not going to put up with your this and that. I don't even remember exactly what happened. But all I remember, the scene plays out exactly different than what you think is going to happen. You think she's going to go off on this girl screwing around. But instead, she sets her straight before she lets her go. She has a word with her. And I just thought it was great how it does that. Because I saw a post on Ain't It Cool News where one of the guys on there talked about the finale. And I saw in the talkback section, which, by the way, don't ever look in the talkback section.
No.
But they're like, this show is cliched, extremely cliched. But that's just it. It is not cliched.
No.
You
it's
think
the furthest thing from it.
Like when Smash starts doing steroids, that seems, oh, that's so cliched. But the way they handled it is not. That's just it.
Yeah, they have cliched ideas.
What they do is they deal with things that really happen. That's why it's a cliche, because it happens every day in the real world. But they do it differently. They do it the opposite of what you think it's going to happen. On Dawson's Creek, Smash would have joined a cult or something. Okay?
Yeah.
He would have overdosed.
Yeah. Maybe that's the whole problem is they're not.
He would have been at one of those.
They're
he would have gone
that.
To a rave, Steven, and started seeing flashing lights and passed out. Like, what's wrong with him?
Maybe
he's
that's the whole problem
steroids.
Is they didn't.
Too many steroids mixed with X. He's screwed. All I know is when this was over, I was like, God, please give me another season of the show. And Bill, when the Emmys come up, if there is not somebody nominated for this show, I mean, I don't care about the Emmys
anyway.
If the
show doesn't have at least five nominations,
if Connie Britton is not nominated, if
Kyle Chandler
is not nominated, I'm just out. I mean, give me a break.
What's his name that plays Jason Street? Is it Scott Porter?
Scott Porter,
he
Matt
should have
Harrison.
A nomination, yeah.
But I even think that Smash's mom deserves a
oh, absolutely,
Emmy.
Like a supporting...
I think the writers deserve awards.
Oh, please, yes. It should, you know, if there's five nominations, they should have all five.
Exactly.
You know how The Sopranos will get, like, three nominations in the same category.
I know, give me a break. I wanted to talk about Lost, a couple of episodes of Lost, but I want to talk about on 24 that they finally kicked it into gear, Bill. They've gotten rid
Boy,
of Brady.
Howdy.
Okay, there's no Brady, the retarded guy. Thankfully, he's gone. I like you, Jack Bauer. No, but
my brother wanted me to open up a firewall product.
512-bit encryption. No, but... the writers were like, hey, I got an idea. Let's get rid of this nuclear suitcase idea. Yeah. Let's get rid of the terrorists all in one episode. And the thing I loved about this episode is there's a part where Jack Bauer, they trick the terrorist guy, Fayed, into thinking that he's been rescued. But it's really CTU agents posing as terrorists. And Jack and them are listening in. But Jack hangs under a truck and follows Fayed.
Yes.
And he follows him to a warehouse. And you see him looking around. He sees Fayed. He sees all the terrorists. And he sees the two nuclear weapons. So he's like, hey, I'm just going to kill everybody here. So he just starts shooting everybody. He kills all the terrorists. Runs out of bullets.
I love how he takes out the majority of the terrorists with like one shot.
Yeah, he's like,
peeks around the corner.
Jack's an awesome shot, right? And then he even throws his gun at Fayed, I believe, doesn't he? And
he
gets in this nice fisticuffs fight and then wraps a chain around his neck, hits a button where it chokes him, and he goes, say hi to your brother. I thought that was awesome. I was like, yeah, finally Jack Bauer's back. He's got the two nukes. Everything's great. He's like, hey, job well done. He's walking away. He gets a phone call, and it's Kim Raver from last season, who he thought was dead. And the Chinese guy who had tortured me is like, Mr. Bauer, I have Kim Raver. He's like, do exactly what I say or she's dead. And then it ends. And so the next chapter. But it was leading up
How
to all
How many
that.
Episodes are left?
I don't know.
Are they going to like start a whole other 24 episodes?
I have no
Maybe that's how
it will
end here shortly.
What I think.
Oh, you know what? Maybe it'll end this season and then the movie will pick it up. Because aren't they supposed to be shooting a movie or something?
No, I heard they scrapped that. But,
oh, really?
I think there's at least 10 episodes left.
Huh? Jack Bauer in China.
Usually the second half of the seasons are better anyway, I think. But let's talk about Lost. What happened last week on Lost? Does anyone remember?
See, that's the thing about Lost. It's so not memorable anymore.
Oh, it was when Kate gets handcuffed to Juliet. And it was the Kate flashback where she meets up with the Joni Stubbs from Deadwood. Right. That was last week, right?
Yeah. No, last week was Kate's thing.
Yeah.
When she went to confront her mom.
Right, right. Which meant nothing to me. But there was also the smoke monster was in this episode and chases him. And the one thing you learn is if Juliet's telling the truth, she goes, even we don't know what the hell that thing is.
Yeah.
And then she stops it with the little sonic wall thing or whatever that is.
The sonic wall is cool.
But let's go ahead. I don't even remember that episode. Let's cut to this week.
Because it was memorable.
I mean, I thought it was okay when I saw it. I just don't remember it. Do you remember it, Steven?
No.
There was what about the scenes with Hurley conning Sawyer into thinking he's going to be voted out?
Yes, that was terrific.
That stuff was funny. Harry had to be nice to people. Yeah. Really had nothing to do with anything, but it was...
No, but it was good.
But we had this week where Juliet shows up with the guys. At first, when it was like, let's make camp here, And I was like, no, you mean they're not going to arrive at the beach this episode? They're still walking? Because remember they did that with Kate and Sawyer. Yeah. They're like, oh, we're not there yet. See you next week. But finally they arrived. And it was a whole flashback. And I thought it was really cool how they showed how she was recruited. Because they showed that previous in her flashback. They showed how she arrived by sub. And how what she was there for. She was there to help the women carry, you know, deliver a baby. Because women who get pregnant on the island die, apparently, is what happens. Mm-hmm. And she's not doing it successfully. Women keep dying. So she's like, I just want to go home. And he's like, your sister's cancer has come back. But I'll tell you what, we'll cure her cancer if you stay on the island. So she's been here 3+ years. She's been doing good when... I can't believe she slept with the Riggins dad from Friday Night Lights. Can you guys believe that?
He really likes to play golf, though.
Yeah, and he loves Conway Twitty.
Mm-hmm.
But I love the whole thing's building up to Jack. I trust her. You should trust her. Do you trust me? Because I trust her. It's like, okay, we trust her. And I hated the scene where Saeed and Sawyer go to stop her as she's got a suitcase of medical supplies for Claire. Yeah. And she's like...
That felt like a scene out of, like, The Karate Kid whenever they confront Daniel.
Yeah, but she's like, well, how come you never told anyone that you killed someone in cold blood? How come you've never told anyone about so-and-so when you torture people? And it's like, okay, bitch. Okay, you know about that stuff. Say, okay, you know the general ideas. Do you know why I killed that guy? Do you know that much? Because if you did, then,
you wouldn't be asking me this stupid question.
What does that have
to big fat?
What does that have to do with why you're abducting children or other people? Why you people are pestering us? It has nothing. One thing has nothing to do with the other. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Guess what? It was wartime or whatever. I was questioning these guys. These are people who crashed.
He was in the Republican Guard. That was his job. That's why he tortured people. Sawyer, if she knows that he killed somebody, then she also knows that he was tricked into killing the guy because he thought that was a guy that had a hand in his father killing himself?
Yeah.
And his mother eventually killing herself or something like that. So, I mean, give me a break. They should have bitch slapped her right there. And then it comes to the very end where Ben, basically the whole plan is for her to infiltrate them and earn trust. But why, Steven? What's going to happen?
I can't see you in a week, he says, and then it goes off. And then the preview is like either really high winds or a helicopter.
Yes.
I'm guessing high winds. There's like a storm moving.
I really think they mentioned Jacob, Bill. Jacob, like he's a person in charge. Have you noticed that? I'm thinking Jacob is the second coming of L. Ron Hubbard.
Yes!
And this this is an island. The reason they need to reproduce, because they're trying to create a new civilization there on the island of good people.
The Sea Org Scientological Island. Trying to get inside their bodies.
It's like a utopia. And I think we've already established, they said the Dharma people were there, and they've taken over their facilities and stuff.
A revolt.
So I want to know what the...
Those are some of the aliens from the other planets that survived the nuclear blast.
Is there a volcano on the island? I don't know.
There has to be. It's an island. That's what it's made from.
Yeah, there would have to be volcanic.
That's right. Maybe that's where they're going, because they all leave because they gassed or whatever.
Maybe it's sulfur. I wonder, I'm going to be in Hawaii in a couple of weeks if they're going to be filming.
Yeah, you'd have to go to Oahu. That's what island they filmed.
The big island.
But okay, guys, we haven't had any Smallville lately.
I'm starting to get really, like, withdrawal symptoms.
I know, I flipped over the other night, and it was the repeat Valentine show.
I read a spoiler, guys, that one of the four main people, being Clark, Chloe, Lex, and Lana, will die this season.
Oh, please let it be Lana.
Well, it's going to be Chloe.
And what they said... What they said was they couldn't tell us who in the hint, but it's someone that fans love. So it's not Lana. Because fans don't love Lana.
Well, they got it. I mean, because obviously Chloe doesn't exist in the rest of, you know, in the Superman realm.
Does Allison Mack have a pilot she's working on? I don't know.
I'll have to check IMDb.
Poor Allison.
I mean,
poor us.
What the hell are they doing on the show? What was funny is I read this.
I mean, they could at least
when I read BSG spoilers, I'm like, oh, I'm not going to read that. You know, a Friday Night Light spoiler, not going to read it. Lost, whatever. It said Smallville spoiler. I was like, okay, and I'll read it because I don't give a shit. It's like, ooh, some big secret on Smallville.
Thing is a Smallville spoiler.
Yeah, it's who like cares?
It's like, you know, you can't get rid of Lana because that's his true love. You can't get rid of Lex because that's his nemesis.
You can get rid of Lana, please. What's with this mysterious baby? What's with all the breaks in here? This is like Lost last
it's
season.
It's weird, yeah, I know. It's like,
hey,
I,
maybe it is Lana. Maybe they think that people actually love her. Maybe
yeah,
they're trying to like
Lana.
Or they do like your idea is they replace Chloe with Lana.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what a lot of fans are hoping. Chloe assumes Lois's identity is what it is. That it's actually Chloe is Lois Lane.
Well, that couldn't be because Chloe knows Clark's secret.
Right.
So
it
how
makes
could
no
it
sense.
Be Lois Lane?
Right. And yeah, what if, like, if you it, watch it, Superman it, with Margot Kidder or even the newer one, Superman Returns, I can't picture Lois once living in Smallville and going through all the crap. Like, she stripped in a strip club and got kidnapped by this Russian guy who wanted to sell her in white slavery. No, don't think so.
Or if they take a cue from the movie and he gives Chloe the kiss to make her forget.
Yeah,
God.
That's not in the Donner cut, though.
Not in the Donner cut.
The Jesus.
Out.
I just need me some Smallville back, and I think May is when Veronica Mars comes back for its final five episodes. And they're even showing the last two episodes of Veronica on one night, Bill. So
nice.
It's almost like, let's get rid of the show.
Yes, let's dump this.
I don't think it's coming back.
Well, this season was really horrible. It was like, what the hell happened?
But, you know, I'll take horrible Veronica over other shows. Like,
I'd take horrible Veronica over horrible Smallville.
Yeah, like that.
Well, maybe
I still
not.
Can't get past that.
I've got the death.
That
it's be
Fight
the,
Club episode.
It'll be the miscarried baby.
It'll
oh,
be like
yeah,
the
I
movie
really
It's Alive or something.
It'll be a miscarried child.
She already did miscarry the child.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's how long ago it was.
God.
I forgot what happened. Remember that? And he kills a guy in the crypt.
Fight. The dry ice and the
Bill, you still been watching October Road?
No, I watched the first episode and was so douche chilled from it.
I've watched every episode up until now. I mean, I've watched every episode, and here's what I don't understand. It's not a well written show. It's Dawson's Creek level.
Yeah,
but I looked in like you look at the ratings because it comes on after Grey's Anatomy. It's like been in the top 10 in ratings. We need
people
to get
just don't
NBC.
Know how to change channels.
NBC needs to plant Friday Night Lights after one of their hit shows. Maybe the audience will carry over.
Mm-hmm. You know what would be great is if they put. Well, let's try
after
to think.
Heroes?
What's a great show? Yeah, why not put Friday Night Lights?
I know
on
nothing
after Heroes.
They had the Black Donnellys after Heroes for a while before Heroes
well,
disappeared.
Friday Night Lights got its biggest ratings when they put it on after Heroes on a Monday night.
The biggest problem is its name because it fools you think it's on Friday nights.
Yeah, but the thing is that...
but it's on Wednesdays.
Every show that they put on after Heroes has disappeared. Studio 60, it's coming back, maybe, I don't know, or it's gone. I don't even know what's going on.
That show is so bad.
Also, Black Donnelly's has been canceled. Shit canned. So every show that they put on after Heroes hasn't succeeded. So I don't want them to put Friday Night Lights there and then it get canceled.
True.
I don't know what the hell's going to happen. But Friday Night Lights, all I've heard is that NBC has ordered 6 more scripts. And that's the same thing they've done for Medium. Where they've ordered 6 scripts. And, you know, Bill, and I, you and I talked about this. Maybe it's to see what direction they're going to go with next season.
Yeah, think I
about.
Think that's exactly
but
it.
I just hope they do. Especially, they just won a Peabody Award on Friday Night Lights. Some other shows did, too, like The Office. But remember, BSG won a Peabody Award. It's something that I think NBC should be proud of because it's such a quality show. And
I think they should really flaunt that for the season, for this summer season replay.
Right. Should it be like, hey, no, our network is all about Thank God You're Here. It's not about Friday Night Lights. It's, oh, we want to be known for shitty
Isn't that on tonight, yeah. Thank God You're Here, or is that
it's
Sunday
on Monday
night?
Tonight, which is Saturday, is the final two episodes of Andy Barker before it's gone forever because they've canceled Andy Barker.
One of the funniest shows to come along.
And it's gone. Two
and they really should have put it on like that. Did they have it on Thursday night?
No.
They should have put
like
it
Tuesday.
They should have put it directly before 30 Rock.
Yeah.
Like, or after it. I don't know. But
Rock
they should have had it on Thursday night.
Yeah, it didn't get a chance. They should have given it longer. I mean, they only made 6 episodes of the series. You almost felt like when you pitch a show and they pick it up and the network goes, we're going to order 6 episodes, I would automatically go, that seems like a low order. Are you setting us up to fail? Because
exactly.
What happens if we get good ratings and then you don't have any shows to show?
No, what they're not going to do that. It'll be picked up for an entire season. They just want to know where it's going.
Right,
they're not going to shoot 6 episodes for a second season and go, you know what? No, thanks.
Yeah, but I'm just saying that
Andy Barker,
they ordered 6 episodes.
Is that all they? That's all they did was 6 episodes.
Yeah, they made 6 episodes.
Because I thought I watched more than 6 episodes.
Because I heard that show Reigns with Jeff Goldblum. It originally had a 13 episode order, but then NBC cut it down to 7 episodes, which is never good when the show hasn't even aired yet, hasn't even had a chance to get ratings, and they've cut it down to 7. And
I enjoyed the first episode, but I haven't watched any other.
I've watched a couple of them. It's a really, it's not a bad show, but the problem is it's very uneven. The comedy, the quirkiness of Jeff Goldblum, quirky is the best way to describe him.
They needed a big chested girl, a la Jennifer Love, to do.
Yeah, but the problem is that. I don't know. Is the show supposed to be funny or serious? In every episode, they try to end it on a warm note, like real sweet. And it almost kind of feels kind of like, no, a little manipulative.
Yeah.
And I don't think that show's going to stick around.
No, it's not. I think maybe if Frank Darabont was a little more involved with it.
Right.
It would be able to clean itself up.
Bill, we had Sopranos and Entourage return this week, and I can't believe we almost forgot about it. Sopranos, I thought, was great, as I always do. A lot of people talk about how horrible the show has gotten. But the genius of the show is how it takes something like a weekend getaway and turns it into this horrible kind of like domestic squabble.
Yeah, that was pretty bad.
The part with Tony.
It also shows how out of control Tony Soprano is.
What I love is he keeps insulting Janice, and Bobby thinks he has to stick up for her. So they get in a fight. Just this drag out fight, and they're smashing everything.
Bobby cold cocks him just.
And I love Janice saying, "What are you doing? He's the boss of the family." And he's like, "He insulted you." And she's like, "I'm a big girl. I can take it. Just let him." And that's what was great about this.
It's just that Bacala is such a.
He's a dopey guy.
Well, not only is he dopey, but he's just old-fashioned.
And
know?
Also,
he's naive.
He also says, you Sopranos, you never know when to let up on each other, you know?
Yeah.
He's not used to that kind of abuse, I guess, in family members. But another thing I don't... was that, did you think at any point that Tony was going to kill Bobby?
No.
Because I started to think that, but then I was thinking there's no way he could go back to Janice and say, hey, something happened to Bobby. It just wouldn't work. You know.
No, it doesn't work like that. Tony's too vindictive. And I loved how his wife, Carmella, kept going, Tony's not vindictive.
Yeah, it's
like,
what?
Not at all.
But in another thing is he's already told Bobby what incredible earner he is, that he's got his eye on Bobby. And Bobby mentions that...
He's off in Hollywood.
And Bobby mentions that he's never killed anyone, that his dad didn't want it for him. So then, of course, Tony tells him... But I can't wait to see some more Sopranos. It's a good episode. Now, what did you guys think of Entourage? I really like the idea of Carla Gugino being on the show this
yeah,
season.
Yeah, but as you notice, it's special guest stars, so I don't see her being around much longer.
She'll be around for this season, I think.
Maybe. The rest of this season.
They got to have... I love the stuff with Ari hanging around.
Ari has to get him the part for that...
Medellin.
For him to go back.
But I love the idea of him pissing her off. They need to keep her on there for that kind of dynamic. And
they also need to keep her on there for the possibility of a nude scene.
Did you guys love the what was it, the poster for Drama's new series, NBC series, or what is it called? Like Five Corners or something
like
that?
Yeah, it looks like the Black Donnellys.
Yeah, it does. That's what I was laughing about. It's like it looks like he's on the Black Donnellys. It's like a new show by Ed Burns. I love that. And when they drive by at night and the lights out on the poster.
Do you think that's a rip on the Black Donnellys? Because they were always like, a new show from Paul Haggis.
It's got to be. Just kind of spoofing it. Unfortunately, Drama, the show will probably be canceled after like four episodes.
Yeah.
Like you sitting there in front of it trying to get a picture taken.
Yeah.
Hilarious.
Yeah, finally someone comes up and goes, was that Vince Chase you were talking to?
But, I mean, I love the show. It's a lot of fun, and it's the shortest show on television.
Yeah, you know what? It's a quick, mindless 25 minutes.
It's like a webisode, for Christ's sake.
It's a webisode.
Jesus, it goes by fast. But I like the way Turtle found sponsors for the birthday party on the Queen Mary.
Yes.
That was pretty funny. But I'm glad the show's back. I can't wait
to
see
it. So maybe we can even make money on this deal.
Yeah, that was great. Because Vincent Chase, they don't want him to spend any of his own money. But I can't wait
to see
what else
happens. They've already spent like 70 grand on the party, and they need, what, an extra 50?
Yeah. Well, Bill, what do you say? Those shows are back. We'll talk about them more next week. But let's do some news. What do you say?
All right, let's do it.
All right, Bill, what do we got in the news this week?
A police gaffe makes Muslims pray in the wrong direction. You know, Muslims are supposed to pray five times a day facing
Mecca.
East.
Oh,
yeah, towards
yeah.
Mecca. But a Dutch police station trying to help Muslim detainees face Mecca for their prayers painted arrows in the cells pointing in the wrong direction.
The church station
in Hague borrowed the idea of putting compass marks on ceilings from an Amsterdam hotel, the Dutch Daily De Telegraph reported on Friday. This is really a gigantic mistake, a police spokesman told the De Telegraph. The faulty compass marks have been immediately corrected. It is a mystery for us how this could have possibly happened.
That is dead on.
Do you think they didn't even look? They just painted it on there?
You know what? If they did look, they didn't care. They thought it would be funny to point them west.
Something stupid like they're looking at their compass down in their hand, and then they're painting on the ceiling kind of upside down and backwards, you know?
Oh, shit, you're right.
Probably.
That would have been... That's great. Now, this is kind of sick in a way. Pieces of Titanic are being transformed into luxury watches.
Huh?
Steel and coal from the Titanic have been transformed into a new line of luxury wristwatches that claim to capture the essence of the legendary ocean liner, which sank in 1912. Geneva watchmaker Roman Jerome S.A. billed its Titanic DNA collection as among the most exclusive pieces showcased this week at Baselworld, the watch and jewelry's largest industrial trade fair.
Does James Cameron have anything to do with this?
I don't know, but this is just wrong. I mean, I think of Titanic as kind of like a graveyard.
Right.
You know,
yeah,
and to basically rob a grave to turn it into a luxury watch? I mean, that's twisted.
That's like taking parts of a coffin or something.
I mean, yeah, get this. They're charging anywhere from $7,800 to $173,000 for these watches.
I forgot to say please.
And that's wrong on so many levels. And I'm not saying please. That's insanity.
Yours just keep getting dirtier.
Okay. Yikes.
I never know what Green Arrow's even talking
about. No, Green Arrow.
I made myself clear.
Oh.
No. You were only to use violence if you were in danger.
Okay.
I'm even more confused.
I love this. Nail gun injuries soar among retailers.
I've heard about this.
Take a nation of do-it-yourselfers, add a ready supply of cheap nail guns, and what do you get? About 37,000 nail gun injuries.
Jesus!
Since 1991, nail gun injuries have risen about 200%, the CDC said in its weekly report on death and disease. This increase likely corresponds to an increase in availability during the 90s of inexpensive pneumatic nail guns and air compressors. No sales data are available for confirmation. But during a five-year period of 2001 to 2005, an average of approximately 37,000 patients with injuries related to nail gun use were treated annually in emergency departments, with 40% of injuries occurring among consumers. That story makes me think of, what is it, Lethal Weapon 2?
Yeah.
Where the guy's using a nail gun and they freak out and pull a gun on him.
And the best part...
He goes, oh, I just shit my pants.
The best part is when he goes, nailed them both.
Oh my God.
You know, I always thought that nail guns had, like, that security feature where you could only... You had to push down to fire the nail.
Yeah, you can't shoot it like a machine gun. I guess you could if you,
you pull the thing down. Pull it back with your hand.
We had a nail gun where we used to work. We know that you can't.
I've got one. Still.
You could shoot one if you wanted to.
Really?
Yeah.
Open your eyes, you crazy son of a bitch!
Why the hell would you ever want to do that?
We would get the leftover helium balloons and put in our frame shop. And
here's
we
the
would
problem,
shoot
Bill.
Them across the room.
Here's the problem. Idle hands are the devil's plaything.
I can imagine, man. That's insanity.
We had staple guns.
Like,
we would do
sure
the same thing.
Dead today. Let's start shooting stuff.
So you would shoot balloons with nail guns.
Uh-huh.
Among other things.
Among other things.
Among other things.
Staple guns were even easier because you could shoot them. You had a clip of staples. You could shoot it like a machine gun.
Are you serious? Were they like pneumatic staple guns?
Yeah.
Yeah, you could just like rapidly pull the trigger and shoot
staples. You could put your hand about probably 10 inches away and you could shoot the staples at your hand and it wouldn't. I mean, it would kind of little sting a little bit, but it wouldn't break your skin.
I might not have a PhD in stupid like you do. But I'm going to tell you right now, this is going to turn out badly.
Yeah,
it always did.
Perfect.
Hey, we didn't say we were intelligent people.
No.
Yeah. Those weren't really all that. The staples weren't that bad. The nails. The nails, I wouldn't do that.
Right.
Here's another ridiculous story out of London. Want to stay safe on the roads? Then avoid listening to Guns N' Roses, Meatloaf, and Bruce Springsteen behind the wheel. Yeah, because Paradise by the Dashboard Light really gets me driving fast. The trio are among artists featured in a top 10 of tracks that get people's blood pumping and in the mood to drive aggressively. Some 17,000 voters have so far responded to an online poll run by Electronic Arts and AOL to launch the new video racing game, Burnout Dominator, which Burnout is an awesome series of games. Burnout Revenge, the last one for the...
I'm a touch of black man's radio, boy!
Yes. The resultant short list of tracks that got people revved up and that drivers should avoid listening to in the real world spans more than 30 years of chart favorites, although none of them actually reach number one. It includes classic rock tracks such as Meatloaf's Bat Out of Hell, Springsteen's Born to Run. Now, I have driven fast to this one, Motorhead's Ace of Spades. I just can't help it with that song. And Guns N' Roses' Paradise City makes you drive fast?
Not me. That makes me
yeah, I know.
It's Sweet Child of Mine. That's where I am.
I drive fast to November Rain.
Yeah.
More modern tracks include The Killers' When We Were Young. I really don't understand that. Feeder's Buck Rogers also featured, as did, perhaps fittingly, You Will Be Under My Wheels by Prodigy.
They're totally skipping Sammy Hagar's I Can't Drive 55.
Yeah, what the hell, man?
I drive
that
really
one
fast
says it
to,
in the title.
I drive really fast to Huey Lewis in the News is The Power of Love.
Mine is I Need a New Drug.
That's a great thing.
Yes.
I don't need money. I don't
Mine
need
is
fame.
Ghostbusters.
Oh, yeah. Ray Parker Jr. really gets the blood pumping.
Or Huey Lewis. If...
I prefer Who's Johnny?
Rhythm of the Night. That's where I haul ass.
What if I told you we got video of you performing a sexual act?
Well, I wouldn't mind because it would be with a woman.
Whatever happened to Carl Mundy? Love that.
You know
guy.
What? He quit his. He moved to another station, and he's actually looking for a research assistant. So anyone in the Cleveland area that wants to work for Carl Mundy should
look on
Hot Jobs or Monster and look for a research assistant for a television station.
I'm there,
I think
man.
Eddie would love to do that.
Eddie Deason would be the perfect research assistant.
Ow! I'm going to throw it away. Is it all right with you if I throw it away?
What? Say again?
Objects fall exactly 32 feet per second.
Eddie Deason rules.
You're not supposed to see any of that stuff.
Huh?
You'll never get in there. That system probably contains a new data encryption algorithm.
Oh, genius.
Data encrypted algorithm.
Hey,
all right, Hell's Angels are going to be organizing a benefit party in Amsterdam, which is a pretty good location for Hell's Angels. Strap for cash and under... I have no idea. It must have been the Hell's Angels. Strap for cash and under pressure from Dutch prosecutors, the Amsterdam chapter of the bike group Hell's Angels is organizing a benefit party looking to raise money to pay for legal costs. Come to our party so we can defend ourselves. The Hell's Angels Amsterdam need your support, the motorcycle club said on its website Wednesday, in a party invitation as a group fights several court cases across the Netherlands in which prosecutors seek to ban Hell's Angels chapter.
Scares me, Jason.
I don't understand why they would want to ban Hell's Angels but legalize marijuana.
I didn't even know those guys were still around.
Hell's Angels? Oh, yeah.
Pork chop sandwiches!
Yeah, and they still love pork chop sandwiches.
I do, too.
Mmm. God, did that smell good.
Don't give him the stick!
And that's news.
Well, thanks, Bill. Thanks for doing the news this week. Maybe we'll have Vanessa next week. What do you say?
Yeah, maybe it'll
I'm going
a
to say masturbating in a minute. Am I loud?
Huh? Oh, good Lord. Now, Bill, any cult news this week? You want to get right into the DVDs?
Let's do some DVDs! Ow!
Let's do some DVDs! Let's do some DVDs! Let's do some DVDs!
DVDs! DVDs! DVDs! HD, Blu-ray, a standard definition!
Oh, hell yeah, baby! The DVDs, what do we got?
Gold, Jerry, gold!
Oh, yeah!
Yes!
Nice catch, Blanco indeed. Nino.
Huh?
Yes, I am a Blanco Nino. Yes, here's your resident Blanco Nino's DVDs for April 17th, 2007. Yes, it is already April 17th.
Nice.
Major issues.
First DVD is something out of Lionsgate Studio that is called Alien Invasion Arizona.
Ooh.
Yes, after a mysterious extraterrestrial object lands in the mining town of Salina, Arizona, the government dispatches a team of Marines to contain the possible threat.
Meanwhile, thought Arizona, I worry about snakes and scorpions.
Yeah. What else?
Heat.
Dingoes. Meanwhile, a group of...
Did you say
course,
dingoes?
Meanwhile, I love this. This is always perfect. Anytime you have an invasion movie or anything like that, you always have a group of death row inmates ambush their prison bus and take the guards and personnel aboard hostage. And they arrive in this special town with the special ops. My God.
Looks like you're working out some issues there.
So I can pretty much figure out that it's cops, aliens, inmates, all against one another.
Nice.
And that together
Where the hell's the aliens?
Makes a great movie. What?
Where's the aliens?
I don't know. I have no freaking idea. Next DVD is actually... I wouldn't call it a horrible movie, but it's a very early Mel Gibson film. In fact, I think it's his first one, called Attack Force Z.
Oh my god. Oh my god.
Oh yes. Yes.
Ah yes, Attack Force Z.
Yeah, well, it's got Sam Neill, Mel Gibson, and John Waters in it. Gibson
John
an elite...
Waters?
Yes, John Waters. That... No, not that John Waters. Not the pencil-thin mustache John Waters.
The pedophile-looking...
But Mel Gibson commands an elite military team dispatched during World War II to locate and rescue the survivors of a shot-down plane stranded on a South Pacific island occupied by Japanese. But I remember this.
Gosh.
I saw this movie once or twice, and it's kind of like the Dirty Dozen sort of thing.
You know what's better? Gallipoli. Now that's a movie.
That's an actually great movie.
That's right.
I don't understand this one, but I guess if you're a fan of the Axis of Evil, you might like it. It's called the Axis of Evil Comedy Tour, and I guess it's three Arab comedians.
On your knees.
So I guess they talk about gay terrorists and flying in post 9/11 America. That sounds like really, really
funny. Due to some violent content, parental discretion is advised.
All right, next film, made in 1988.
I'm gonna get to my ass!
Would you call it a classic? It's called The Chocolate War.
Yes, I would call it a classic.
Yes.
It is directed by Keith...
Gordon.
Gordon, yes.
Yes.
Keith Gordon, the guy from Christine, the John Carpenter-directed, Stephen King-adapted type deal. And he turned into a director, and he directed The Chocolate War. And the music is all done by Yaz.
Yeah.
Which is really weird.
Yeah.
Because he just took their music and just put it in the movie. It's not like they made it for the movie.
They just took the Yaz upstairs at Eric.
Yeah.
But definitely a classic film of the troubled youth high school drama era. And it's got
see her again. You
thank you, Jackie. It's
now,
got
it
a
is
very
a...
young Doug Hutchinson and Wallace Langham.
It's got the kid from Weird Science in it too.
Yes, it does.
It's a really weird
movie. I can't remember that kid's name.
Elon Mitchell Smith.
Is it Elon or Lee? I always thought it was Leon because
it was
like two L's or something.
No, it was I L A N. I think it's
okay.
Elon, I guess.
Elon. Yeah, Elon Mitchell.
And he disappeared off the face of the earth, apparently.
Yes, he did.
Stepped into a black hole.
I think he went through the hole.
Connected one too many bras to a computer.
Yeah.
Yes.
Son of a bitch!
He went wherever Kelly Brook went, or what was her name?
Kelly Brock.
Kelly Brock.
Kelly Brock.
Oh, he's on the...
She made a mistake. She married...
Steven Seagal blew up.
It was all she wrote.
Celebrity fit thing.
Yeah. What was the movie that she did with him? Out to Kill or Marked for Death or...
Something.
One of those.
Hard to Kill.
But she was so hot in that movie. He should really just be killed. You know, he continues to make great B-grade movies like Flight of Fury with the invisible plane.
I'm going home.
I love
somebody
the fact
call
that
a
he
cab.
Gets, you know, gets fatter every time you see him, you know, but yeah, he's still doing all this karate.
My favorite, the bit about his martial arts is he basically just kind of throws people into bottles, shelves of bottles.
Yeah,
and stuff.
Or he clothes line,
now, though,
to the floor.
Big and immobile.
He never moves. He just stands still and grabs you with his arms.
They just shoot him from, like, the chin up, straining face, and just waves his hand around.
Suck on
and then you watch someone else doing the moves. And then cut back to his face.
I love that guy.
He's great. Next DVD is the Hillary Swank Man Face Great Body movie Freedom Riders with Patrick Dempsey.
Now let's talk about The Reaper or whatever the hell that was called. The Reaping.
Coming out or came out or
that looked really bad.
Yeah, you know
when
what's
you have CGI
crazy about
locusts in the trailer. No,
she won two Oscars and yet she does some of the worst movies.
I still don't understand that. And she does nothing for me in my, you know, the,
you know what? She has a horrible face. Belt. Like, she's very manly, but you cannot deny that she has an incredible body. Like, really long legs.
She does nothing for me, man.
No, I'd have to put a bag over
her.
She's
a drama queen. She's just a
And I'd have to put tape
bitch.
Over her mouth because I can't stand her voice.
She was a great Karate Kid, though, wasn't she?
She was the next Karate Kid.
I always remember her from 90210. Steve mm-hmm. was dating her, and she had this
Six
annoying
episodes.
Child with a bowl haircut.
Wasn't she Psycho?
I don't even remember.
Or am I thinking of something else?
No, she just...
She's disgusting.
I think on that she got a job somewhere and moved away.
Yeah. She's sloppy. Now, this is interesting, coming out from Anchor Bay.
She's crude. It's... She's tough. She's arrogant. She's pushy. She's disgusting. In certain ways, she's a degenerate.
Well, wow. Yeah, but, you know, you can't
really
hold that against
like Hillary
people.
Swank.
Yeah. Did any of you ever watch Highlander, the television series?
Highlander with Duncan MacLeod. No.
No.
I guess someone did. Because
oh, that show has a huge following.
They're picking 15 of the best episodes out of 119 episodes and putting them on DVD with, I mean, some huge extras. I mean, this thing is
the world's biggest scumbag.
1,000 minutes. I mean, it is just loaded, so there's got to be a market for it.
I'm just wanting Space Precinct is all I want on DVD.
Yeah, why are they bothering with Highlander when we make Space Precinct?
Has Highlander the Raven come out on DVD yet, Bill?
No, it hasn't.
Damn it.
But now that, you know, Steven mentions Space Precinct, and I get angry because I want that.
I was about to say, don't tell me it's coming out. I mentioned it.
When are we going
to
see Tom Brogan? That show had some of the best uses of models on TV, you know. The
well, that's because it
cars.
Was a, what was that, Jerry Anderson, the guy that did all the puppet shows?
Zing!
Live action show. Now, this one for you, Jason. It's Kraken, Tentacles of the Deep.
Awesome! This is the movie that stole our land squid idea, Steven.
Yes,
they plagiarized us. Those bastards. I will hunt them down and kill them!
30 years ago, Ray Ryder witnessed the brutal
We talked to Jack
parents.
Scalia first, Steven.
Did you talk to Charlie O'Connell?
I don't even know who that is.
I guess it's Jerry.
Oh, O'Connell, Jerry's brother.
Yeah.
Who, he's like, I'm going to bring Charlie into the last season of Sliders and get him some acting work.
So Jerry went, you know what? I don't really want to do this last season. Could you do it, Charlie?
You look a lot like me. No one will ever notice.
Hey, bring himself.
We'll make it where you... I kind of more...
Charlie!
I'm more
Did Charlie do the last
slider.
Season of My Secret Identity?
Oh, God, I love that movie. Two spray paint cans. And he's flying. Genius!
Next DVD kind of has me hopeful. I have the first season of Larry Sanders Show on DVD. It came out...
Crack of
God,
shit.
Like 5-6 years ago. But now HBO is releasing it again. So that kind of gives me hope that they're going to continue on and keep releasing the full season sets, because Larry Sanders Show was hilarious. It was the last great HBO comedy, because I can't stand that.
You know what
Larry
sucked,
David
Bill?
Show.
During that entire period of that show, I didn't have HBO, so I haven't seen it.
You should definitely check it out now. It holds up. Next DVD is The Last King of Scotland.
That's not appropriate.
I don't give a
The movie that Forest Whitaker won the Oscar for playing Idi Amin.
That's right.
But what's funny is I'm looking at the cover and it says Forest Whitaker, The Last King of Scotland, and it's all him on the cover of it, yet he's only in the movie for 15 minutes. It's mainly about this character played by James McAvoy, who's... a doctor. It's the entire story told by him, and like how he sees this character.
Call me sir, God damn it!
So it really has nothing to do with
why did he win? Why wasn't he the supporting actor? Why was he the
I have
actor?
No idea. He should have been nominated for supporting actor because he
did
he
anyone
really
even
had
call
nothing
attention
to do
to
in this movie. Yeah, I'm sure people did, but it just. You know the Academy. They do whatever
Not
the hell they want
it's
to do.
My ability.
Sorry, Steven.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, Steven.
people, if you're listening, it's probably already too late, but Little People Big World comes back Monday night on TLC.
What the hell is that?
The best midget show on television.
21 gigawatts!
I swear to God, I watch this show because I just love these midgets. I know it's politically incorrect, but these are some of the best midgets ever. You should really watch it because it's just, it's midget-tastic.
Midget-tastic?
Yep, midget-tastic. Kind of like Dipitosity. Next DVD is one of the best shows on television, Most Extreme Elimination Challenge, Season 2. So Most Extreme Elimination Challenge is where they take the Japanese show Takashi's Castle and they overdub it with insanity.
Wasn't that Takashi Mike's castle?
No, actually it wasn't.
Damn it.
It was
Takashi Mike's a director.
Yeah,
I
well,
can't stand it. I hate
Takashi
it.
Takashi
produced the show.
is the guy's name, but actually this is a different Takashi. This is Takashi. This is Takashi Kitano, also known as Beat Takashi. Who's done quite a few great movies, like Hanabi and Brother.
We represent the Lollipop Guild.
Better late than never.
Yes, sir.
But yes, watch the midget
the
shows.
Cuckoo.
Little People, Big World, TLC, Monday nights, 8 p.m. I'm telling you, man, it is the best midget show on television.
I keep hearing about that Deadly Cat show.
I watched
it. Did
that.
I watch it? Didn't there, like, the first episode, like, some people die or something? That's
and actually, they're going to continue it on because it was at the end.
Have you guys seen the preview for that show about the guy
closet.
That lives with the wolves to try to train them back to being wild?
No.
Like, he acts like a wolf. He, like, eats raw meat and, you know, like, raw carcass meat and shit. He's like Wolfman.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
I guess it's kind of like Rat Boy.
Yeah, okay.
But anyways, yeah, Most Extreme Elimination.
Oh, brother.
Season 2, absolutely hilarious. Love the show. I'm going to buy
Scary Uncle. That's what I always remember
the
from.
Scary Uncle. Yes.
A homosexual area.
So, yes. Next DVD
really?
Is... yes. Murder, She Wrote, the complete 6th season.
Awesome!
Absolutely am in love with Angela Lansbury.
Hot.
Yes.
Totally hot. Sorry. Jesus.
Next DVD is the BBC video version of Silas Marner with Ben Kingsley. Now, I saw this in high school, and I absolutely
really?
Loved it. I loved the book. I loved this. And the best thing about this, there's a line in it where just a little girl goes, Peppy and Nicole Ho, and you have no idea what it means, but I thought it was hilarious. So I'm going to buy it.
Get out.
Okay, well then, yeah. Next DVD is Smoking Aces, the Joe Carnahan bloodfest craziness, ultimately disappointing film. So, Steven, don't buy it. Rent it.
It's a renter?
It's okay. A renter.
Yeah, that's what I hear.
Yes, it just kind of really goes nowhere. And the last DVD is... Oh, God. They are
the next time I have to come in here, I'm cracking skulls.
They are milking this thing for all it's worth. Spider-Man 2.1.
What?
The all-new two-disc extended cut.
That doesn't make sense.
Includes 8 minutes of never-before-seen.
Didn't they do that with X-Men? X-Men 1.5
yes,
or something?
Yes, they did.
What does
so
that
this
even
one
mean?
Has a audio commentary by producer Laura Ziskin, screenwriter Alvin Sargent.
What I want to hear about them.
I don't know.
One of my testicles.
A bunch
has
of different visual effects breakdowns.
Not
but,
interesting.
I you know what? I might rent it just to see what the 8 extra minutes are.
I painted with the little face and I painted the eyebrow.
Awesome.
That's a bit of the commentary.
Yeah, I painted the spider web.
Finish the game!
And Doc Ock. All right, so that's DVDs for April 17th, 2007. Follow
You're
my tardy. Advice. Don't buy what you don't need.
Well, thanks, Bill. I'm going to run out and buy all those DVDs.
Don't do it!
Oh, well. Who wants to live forever? Die!
Oh, hell yeah. Hey, when they releasing that in some special, incredible type of
high def?
Awesome.
Thank you. Good night.
here all week. Try the veal. And see.
Everybody, that was episode 76 of Nowhere in Mulberry. Thank you for listening to the show. I really appreciate it, as do Steven and Bill. I'm sure they do. They just don't know how to put it into words, so I'm telling you for them, right? Is that right, Steven?
Thank you, Susan. I can't say it.
Thank you, Susan.
Yeah,
thank Susan. You, Susan.
Exactly.
If Susan's listening, thank
That's
you.
One of the best moments of 24, by the way.
But yes, it is.
If you would like to call and give us a voicemail, send us a voicemail, record us a voicemail, however you do that, go to dial 1-206-202-3491 or record an MP3 and send it to nimpodcast@gmail.com. You could also send us an email in text form. You know, you could type it, Stephen.
You're
a genius. If you would like to listen to any of our previous shows, go to nowhereinmulberry.com. You can find our current shows. Plus, click on the link that says Mulberry Old School for all of our old shows. Starting
with spelled with a K.
Yes, it's really hip. Hipped it up. You can start with episode 1, which was a Peabody award-winning show.
Take your top off.
Exactly. There's some toplessness on the show. Now, I know this was a different kind of show. It was one of those things where it's a busy week. You don't have time to prepare as much. But, hey, wasn't this just as good as any other show?
Oh, yeah. It was great.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Very fun. Thank you, David.
Thank you, David.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you. And I appreciate you guys listening to the show. And I can't wait. Vanessa will be back next week, hopefully. And we'll have a rocking good time, if you know what I'm saying. What do you think about that? I don't know.
The revolution will be broadcast.
Yes, we will broadcast the revolution next week. So,
yes, the revolution's going to have to wait another week.
Exactly, Helmo. Thank you very much.
Casting.